Going to talk some hockey, some football. Former NHLer writes at OilersNation.com. Brian Sotheby joins us. Suds, what's happening?
Not much, fellas. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Quickly, for you two, we're into September now, a few weeks away from training camp. What, Suds, were you ever not in shape? Heading, like, were you ever nervous when September 1st came and said, man, I'm not sure I'm in good enough shape?
Probably when I was younger and I needed to be bigger and heavier was probably where I stressed out a little bit more and had to focus and was unsure if I would meet those sort of goals or where the team wanted me. I know we've talked a lot on your show about before with me, and my frame was always a bit of a struggle for me to put on weight. So I was never concerned about my cardio. I always felt like I was strong enough or as strong as I could be. So I never was worried there. But for me to get to 210 or 215, especially when I was a young kid, always seemed like a bit of a struggle. So I was a little nervous early in my career. And for the most part, though, you learn. I think Strud's can attest to. I mean, early in the summer, you can probably eat a little bit crappier food or different things like that. And once you get skating more, just as you went along and the older you got, you learned kind of how your body could handle and when you really needed to really buckle down on the diet and all that stuff heading into camp.
What, for both of you, and yeah, you can answer first, Struds, what was the one food that you knew you had to cut out that just didn't work for you?
You know, I was a pretty clean eater. I'm not saying that to, say how awesome I was, but I had no problem really letting go of anything except two things, Slurpees and Blizzards. Those are my go-to. And what I did is I figured out that if I did it right after a workout, it seemed that it was easier. Like I felt like I was carving through it faster because I just burned all those calories. So, you know, every now and then after a good hard workout, if it was 10:30 in the morning, I'd swing by the old DQ and have myself a Blizzard.
Suds, what about for you?
I also thought it was funny there Struds had to say that he wasn't talking about how awesome.
Yeah, I know.
Well, no, I mean, well, I could. How much time we got? 4 hours?
5 minutes.
I'm a pizza guy. I love pizza and chips. Hello. So it was always, like I said, for the most part, early in the summer when you're training and whatnot, really dedicated to the diet, probably Sunday to Friday kind of thing, and maybe a little cheat day on the weekend. And then, like I said, once mid-July came rolling around, you had a couple months left till camp. It was pretty much cut all that stuff out and really hammer down on the body fat and all that stuff once camp rolled into town.
That's how many seasons do you give a young player as far as once they turn pro, whether it's 18, 19, 20, whatever, how many seasons do you give a young player to get to the point where he's in shape? Like, what is that magic number in your head?
Good question. I mean, I think it's so different, okay, kid to kid, right? I mean, you see a guy like Aaron Ekblad this year, and everyone talks about how he's just a man already and a man versus boys, and he's 225 or whatever he is right now. So, but, I mean, I think for the majority of kids that haven't sort of fully matured or developed in their body, it takes a good couple of years pro. You come to the rink, you just don't, I mean, for me, at least going back, now the game is different now. Kids are training. I'm working with some kids down here. I mean, they're doing off-ice and video and Bantam. I think that's a little crazy, but, I mean, that's just where the game's gone. For me, I didn't even start touching weights and working out until I was playing in the Western Hockey League. And so things have changed. Kids are already more developed and more advanced in the weight room and physically than they were back in the day. But I still think you see kids that come and need to learn the pro game. They need to learn the stuff, what it takes to take care of your body before practice, after practice, the training room, all that stuff, that the work you put in to get your body right, and it doesn't just stop once the season starts or once you start coming to the rink. So for most kids, I would say that it's a year or two at least of the pro game and really sort of seeing what these veterans put in every day they come to the rink and working with trainers and following their diets. It takes a while.
Sotheby joins Gregor and Strudwick. You know, you talk about guys being in shape, and you can say, okay, this kid's a man now, and kids are getting bigger and stronger, and, you know, guys are working out now from the age of 15, 14 even, for the most part, in a lot of cases. But they come to the NHL, and while you might be 220 pounds, I'm not sure if you're strong as a veteran who's 220 pounds, right? How do you, and did you guys ever notice it more so when you were veterans, when young guys would come in, what is the biggest challenge that young kids are going to face, whether it's in year one or two, that they really just aren't aware of yet when you get to the NHL against men?
Well, go ahead, Seth.
I think for me, it's just the size and the strength. I noticed a huge jump for me, even from the American Hockey League. I didn't feel like I was that overpowered or overmatched in the American Hockey League level when I was a rookie or at 21, 22. I felt like I was playing, you know, for the most part, you're playing against guys that are 22, 23, and there are some veterans, but I didn't notice a huge jump from junior there. But as soon as you got to the National Hockey League level and you were trying to get to the net or guys were leaning on you, it was a battle. You're talking about guys, you know, for me at least, Jaromir Jagr or Robert Lang in practice when I was a young kid, you got 230, 240 bearing down on you and you're asking a string bean 210, 205, 210 to move some of these guys. And you just don't see that. You don't see that in junior. You don't see that even in the American Hockey League, guys with that size and strength and skill to be able to move the way they do. But you see it at the NHL level.
Yeah, I think for sure it's a strength. And I mean, the speed is one thing, but the strength to you know, out-muscle someone for the puck, even around the faceoff dots. I remember my first exhibition game playing against Florida. Scott Mellenby was there. And, you know, early in the game, there was a penalty. And so I was going out to kill a penalty against Scott Mellenby. And I thought, I'm just going to cross-check this guy right into the wall. I cross-checked him as hard as I could. He didn't even move. And he's probably 230. I was 215, 210. But a week, I'm like, oh, this is a big – I'll never forget that moment. Then the flip side, fast forward like 15 years, playing against Phoenix, Kyle Turris is a rookie in the league. I honestly think my stick weighed more than Kyle Turris his rookie year.
Yeah.
And it was almost embarrassing. Like, I remember him trying to get to net, and I was just like, okay, should I use, you know, three fingers or one to hold him back? Like, it was so, and even he was like, I think he probably would never say it, but, you know, not that I was the greatest D-man, but trying to get to the net through me on a point shot, it just wasn't happening because he just wasn't strong enough. Now he's gone smarter and he's gone stronger, so it's a different game. But when a kid's 18 or 19 and 170 pounds going against a 230 guy, it's nothing.
And that's where, and I know people, the listeners don't like it, and because, you know, Gregor, size doesn't matter. Well, I think it matters a lot because and it's size combined with strength.
Yeah.
And very rarely can you have, and you don't need everybody, but you need a lot of it. And when we look now, we're here into September, training camps gets going in a few weeks, guys. I look at the Edmonton Oilers, and I know the Las Vegas odds have them basically where I said the Oilers would be better than four teams in the West. I don't see them being a playoff team, but I see them being not 14th. I see them being 10th and having four teams below them. Well, there's four teams below them when it comes to the odds factor. The Oilers will improve, but to me, when I look at their overall forward group top to bottom, I just don't see enough experience or enough size and strength. What do you guys think?
Well, I think they've obviously improved. I think we'd all agree with that. I would have them pegged right around where you have them. I don't think they're a playoff team yet, and I don't think they're going to have the year they had last year. I would expect they're going to be better. I like the guys that they added. A lot of guys with some size, maybe not that physical or not as physical as probably me and Struds would have loved to see, but guys that are at least are bigger, it's going to be harder to come out of the corner with the puck. It's probably going to be a little bit harder to get to the net, even if they're not nasty, they're not trying to cross-check you through the rink as Struds tries to do, but they're guys that are going to get in your way, and it's going to be harder to get to the net. It's going to be harder to tight turn and spin away from guys when they're leaning on you. Size and strength with guys' sticks is going to make a big deal. You know, the biggest thing for me is obviously that two-line center. Trying to fill that in this conference with the centers they're going up against. I think the Stanley Cup winner is still coming. You got to go through the West, and that makes it incredibly hard for this team. And especially I feel like with the Nugent Hopkins and the size down the middle right now, they're already lacking. And then on top of it, you don't even have someone in that two hole just yet. So that's gonna be some trouble. But hopefully they can find a way to fix that or at least patch it up here for the next year or two.
Yeah, Craig McTavish has really, since he's taken over, made some nice moves. You know, nothing bold, but if you add it all up, he's really changed the looks of this team in many ways and gotten bigger. The one thing I guess that I guess I'm concerned about, and the team will take a step forward when they learn to compete as hard without the puck as they do with it. And that's from that's from number one center all the way down to the 17 man, Keith Ollie. I mean, that's you got to go so hard to get that puck back. When you lose, you got to chase it down, put back pressure on, tracking, whatever words you want to call it. And when you get that puck, hold on to it. You know, try to make plays with it. You know, just eat up ice time, that offensive zone. And until they make that step, I don't see them really jumping ahead of a team. You know, Winnipeg, I don't know what really expect from there. Not much. Or Nashville, Pekka-Rinne could be a lot better. Calgary will give you what you can. I think Vancouver's a better team. Phoenix probably in with Edmonton. So I'm kind of in the same boat as you guys. Until they learn to compete and fight for every inch of ice, I don't see them jumping in to the playoff conversation.
No chance. That's one where, and I talk about it, people will say, well, the analytics will show you all the grit and the intangibles that people say you can't see. Well, you know what? I will disagree with that. I watch the game, and you can see those more so afterward. When I see guys, when there's an important battle in front of the net and a guy shies away, to me, that's a big red flag. Well, and I've seen too much of that over the last few years.
Like what we're talking about right now, earlier, there is what is one of the biggest things that it takes to learn as a young kid in the league? And I think Strud's nailed it, and you're saying the same thing, is play away from the puck. I mean, for the most part, a lot of kids that have come up and a lot of the young kids on the Oilers have been superstars and high draft picks, and you're so used to always having the puck. And then you get to this level, and it's, the game is so much more without the puck and moving your feet. A lot of young kids, they just stop moving their feet. They lose the puck, and it's, well, we'll kind of watch it. I'll float around here. And the NHL game is stops and starts and moving your feet at all times. And a lot of times that's what you see when there's a turnover or transition. Guys just are lollygagging or they're coasting. And the best teams, it's stop, hammer on the brakes, quickest route to the puck, and work as hard as you can without the puck than you are with it. And the Oilers right now, at least last year, didn't quite grasp that yet.
Yeah, I think you make a really good comment there, Sutz, about this, is that you look at one of the best players in the league, Datsyuk. This guy, as soon as he loses it, he turns right around and he steals the puck from behind so often. Hosa does the same thing. And last year I was encouraged. I started seeing that from Nuge. You know, Nuge would slam on the brace, come back and catch up. He's got a pretty long stick. He'd reach out and just let the guy stick and take it back. That's how you have to compete to get the puck back. And it's not just enough that it's your centers. It's got to be your wingers. It's got to be everybody, every shift. So when the opposing team's skating up the ice, they feel like they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. The D-men are standing up because there's a lot of guys coming back, and it makes it so much harder. And too often last year, you know, you talk about in the picture, Greg, you might see two D-men, maybe the third guy coming back on a 3-on-2. You know, and you should see four guys of your own and three of the other team.
See, I thought in the last 25 games of the season, the biggest improvement in Taylor Hall's game was his back pressure.
Yeah, that's
for sure.
And you know what? It did not hamper his offense whatsoever. Yeah. And I think for him individually, it clicked. And when he's your best player, man, the other guys, like when you guys talk about Datsyuk, when he's doing it, you got to be an idiot if you're a guy below him in skill level. Well, geez, if Pavel Datsyuk, who's way better than me offensively, is doing this, I better do it if I want to stay here. And now that Taylor Hall does it, that should be him and Nugent Hopkins. Those will be the guys that have to lead the team. Are they too young? Probably, but that's the only choice they have in Edmonton. But that was the thing I found the most impressive about Taylor Hall's final 25 games last year was his back pressure. And with his speed, he's going to be able to do it better than most other guys anyway, just because he has that ability with his speed.
Yeah, the challenge for Halsey is
that's the biggest thing.
But go ahead, Seth.
Go ahead, Bruce.
No.
I was just going to say, and that's the biggest thing with this team, is that the minute that Taylor Hall gets it, the minute that Ryan Nugent-Hopkins gets it, Jordan Eberle, the minute it clicks for them that's how you win hockey games, that they have all the skill in the world, but to win hockey games, if they're doing it, every single other person has to buy in. They're still the guys, as young as they are counted on night in and night out. And when other players see them not doing it, it frustrates you. If you're a third or fourth line guy or a defenseman that doesn't play as much and your best players aren't putting forth the effort needed, it weighs on everyone. And you wonder why you're even trying. And it causes issues. And when your best players are your hardest workers, filters throughout your lineup, and that's where it needs to start.
One last one for you guys. Brad Treeley, being the GM of the Calgary Flames today, quote, "I'll be shocked when asked if Sam Bennett will make the Calgary Flames this year." So you have one GM who says, "I'll be shocked."
Yeah.
Here in Edmonton, they're like, you know what? we're pretty confident here. Talk, is one better than the other? The concern about Leon Draisaitl, I know Strez wrote the piece about it, and I talked about it in the summertime. I still think the best thing long-term is him to go there. What does that say about the two organizations in your mind?
Well, I think, you know, with the Oilers, we've talked about it for a while now, that they have always sort of just thrusted their young kids in the last little while here into the lineup, whether for whatever reason. It's not something that I really believe in, especially having gone through it. I feel like players should have a year or even 30 games, 20 games, give them a little bit of a taste of the professional life. Now, if the kid comes in and can absolutely light it up and play and the team is winning, that's fantastic. But I see no problem with them having that mentality, Calgary that is, and saying unless he's absolutely unbelievable that he's going to stick. I think that's great. I think your organization has to have depth. I think it's the kid will have the confidence when he comes and he'll develop and have the ice time. He'll be able to be strong and develop his strength. A guy like Draisaitl, though, it sounds like he's already physically mature. And so maybe he is there. We'll just kind of have to see. But I think anything less than an unbelievable play and sort of absolutely forcing himself on this team, I would rather see him go back.
I think it's two different organizations and two different parts of their cycle as an organization. I mean, the Oilers fans are—they're tired of losing, and they want it now. There's no more. Let's just be patient. And unfortunately, I don't think that's right as a fan base. And I think if the Oilers feel pressure to put them in there early, I think that'll hurt his development. Whereas Calgary, they're just at the tip of this thing. And I quite honestly, I really like that duo. I like both duos in the future. I think Bennett, Monahan could be very great, a nice duo along with Nuge and Leon Draisaitl. But I would put both back in junior. And I've said that, and I'll stand by that all year. Don't be fooled by a player that comes in and plays great in training camp. Don't be fooled by a guy who comes in and plays great in exhibition games. And then the first 10 games, I don't feel the NHL. I remember a number of coaches saying, okay, guys, we're at Christmas. The NHL season's rolling. Let's really bear down. Now, that's 20, 30 games in. And that's when you start seeing guys getting tired. That's when you guys see guys get conked out. Last year, Calgary Flames, Monahan, I thought he conked out just before the Olympic break. And it was hard on him. Yep. And it's, yeah, he does have that one more year in his cycle, and he did learn a lot of things, but I don't think one more year would have killed him. I don't think it'll kill Draisaitl. I know Craig McTavish would said that anyone who suggests where Draisaitl should be before training camp is naive, but I'll stick by this all year and I will not back off it. You know, I think he'll probably be here, but I think best thing for him long term is to be back in PA. I'm convinced of that. I've seen it too many times. Junior's a place for him.
The only difference between Draisaitl and Bennett is probably about 30 pounds. And that, I think, is a big one. But it is interesting where the GM says, I'll be shocked. Rather than try to, oh, well, we'll wait to see, says, hey, I'll be shocked. I don't mind that. Say, hey, kid, you know what? You can go back to junior because you got to get stronger. In his case, he just has. And he's not Patrick Kane good. You know what I mean?
Very few are. But I'd rather have it. I'd rather leave the player wondering if he's going to make the team. Like, I'd just say, no, let's see what happens at training camp. That's the approach I would take if I was Craig McTavish. Will J.R. Draisaitl be this year? Let's see how he does in training camp. And just leave it out like that. You don't have to say anything more than that. Then the player's not sure. You know, don't whisper it through the organization that, yeah, he's going to be here or whatever. Just say, we'll see how he does. And it keeps him hungry and driving. And he's unknown. It's uncomfortable. These are things young players have to learn. It's uncomfortable going to training camp. It's uncomfortable your first game. It's uncomfortable. A lot of things are uncomfortable. And he should go through those. That's part of the growing experience, becoming a good NHL player.
Thud's always good to talk to you. We'll talk to you on Friday.
Right on, guys. Have a good day.